Welcome to selfdiscoverymedia.com, where we discover the communities that are making a difference in the lives of others. Our self-discovery is something we are all making on our life's journey. Here you will find the people that will be your guidance, that will be your inspiration, that will be there for you in support on your journey of life. Do enjoy. Our next show is... Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Your Health is Your Choice, right here on selfdiscoverymedia.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest today is Michelle Drake. We're going to be talking about mastering your habits. I know we've got some habits that really should be not elevating your life, but should be deleting, because it's very hard to break an old habit. You know, she says mastering your habits, elevate your life. It was her mess that she found a message in, and she guided thousands of people to their sanctuary in life. It benefits everyone that has not yet found or allowed the power of consistency in thought and action to assist their elevated existence and overwhelm the stress has been running their show. Boy, do I know that one. I love, she says she loves being witness to a blossoming life and people reclaiming youthful vitality. Developing a new wellness practice is hard. We often struggle to realize our aspirations, and if we do not get started and stay consistent, it remains difficult in forming a new habit. And she says, we've made practicing a new behavior fun and easy for you. Well, this is very apropos for the end of the year, you know, because we're looking at going into the festive season where it seems anything gets thrown out of the window. But we all like to go into the new year. We're going to do this year. And but old habits seep in. So how do you change those new habits? Michelle Elizabeth Drake is a fitness and alternative health professional for over 30 years. She's known as the age reversal specialist. And she's also a freelance journalist for Canada Living, Homemakers, Elle Chantanel, as well as articles on Fitness RX, Omaha Ringside, Fitness Trainer, and many more. And she's a co-author of One Habit to Thrive in a Post-COVID World. Oh boy, yeah. And we're going to be talking about her programs today and also something else that she's doing, which is kind of a gifting forward. So lots to talk about. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Sarah. That was quite a mouthful you had there.
Yeah, you do so much, but let's just start off. Habits. It is so easy to get into a bad habit, and it's unconscious. We don't realize we're doing it, and then we may catch ourselves, oh, I need to break that habit, but the habit feels like it's really got hold of you, and it's how do we change that habit? We almost stress out over it, don't we?
Well, here's the thing about the sentences that I just witnessed in yourself. One of the things that is super powerful with the brain in neuroscience is NLP. And I'm positive that you know about that.
Oh, yes.
So with the neuro-linguistic programming, the first thing that we have to watch out for is the thought pattern like you've brought to the table there, which is like so many feel the same way, is things don't have to be hard. Mm. They don't have to be arduous. You don't have to break things. What I find works a lot better is that you embrace a new positive habit. Let it take over some of the time that you might have encouraged yourself to do something other. Mm-hmm. And then it just starts to flip. It's almost like a choice you make at that moment. Right? Are you going to eat this beautiful, colorful rainbow meal, or are you going to revert to some of your processed drive-through options? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So it's not like you're going to go out and have both of them.
Right.
Usually.
Yeah. Right? Yes. So, hopefully.
I was trying to make sure. I didn't want to assume anything. But at the same time, it was like, You go into the kitchen with this mindset that this is one of the most intimate relationships you're about to ever have, is what you put in your mouth, because you're literally breaking down the fibers of that food, and it starts to build a matrix of your own cells all over again. So it's not even like you're just eating something. You literally are, you are what you digest.
Yes, you are what you eat, right?
Yeah. Well, not so much you are what you eat. It is you are what you digest, which is really interesting, because a lot of times we are challenged in that manner where we're not digesting properly. And so a lot of the nutrients are not being absorbed by the body. And that's another thing that we need to work on as we get going, and you get a little more coaching from some guided professionals that can help you in those areas. Because if you are putting live food in, and that, you want to make sure that the body's absorbing that goodness. Right.
It's a balance of foods, isn't it? I mean, we there's so much information out there, and it's like, know your body. But I, you know, there's a wonderful woman I had on for 5 years as a host here with Wise Health, and she was in her 80s. She used to be known as Snake Oil Woman, because back in her day in the 60s, you know, it was all, you know, far out woo-woo stuff. And she would talk about that the liver, the colon, and the kidney as being the three most important organs in the body, that if they're not functioning properly, then nothing else is going to function properly. But we don't really put emphasis on, like, colon, our digestive system. And if the food isn't complementary to one another, it's not going to digest harmoniously, is it? It's going to be conflicting.
And they've done many, many studies which are extremely helpful in the day and age that we're living in, with so many people struggling with their brain health. Is like the gut and the brain are completely aligned. They're completely connected. And so a lot of people that are feeling depressed or anxious, or, you know, having these huge swings in their ability to focus and everything else, it could just be what they're eating. And nobody would have ever pinpointed that.
But why? I mean, because we talk about nutrition all the time, brain health, you know, energized health, you know, our own sustainability. And again, there's been so much conflicting stuff out there for people that they do get confused. And that's why they revert back to kind of bad habits or old habits, because it's easier. But if we, you know, I'm
easier and more addictive. That's where you come into a space with habits that is really important to recognize, is that there is going to be a spot where you really need the assistance of a coach or somebody that knows what they're talking about to get you over that hurdle of the particular addiction. Because when we are, let's say, sugar fiends or carb fiends or whatnot, we will in the morning spike our sugar. And what happens is that it doesn't just kind of go back and then go nice and regular through the day. It'll spike and then it will plummet right down. And then at that point, physiologically and psychologically, we need something to bring our sugars back up. And so then we make another poor choice. And then it's a series of poor choices through that entire day. And that's why often somebody will write off an entire day. They'll say, oh, I'll start again tomorrow.
Right.
Because they can't get back on that really nice train of rhythm. That equilibrium of that rhythm. Yes. And I also found, you know, for myself, because I have been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And so that's a huge diagnosis, especially for someone that isn't carrying a lot of extra weight or anything like that, because sometimes you can combat it easily when you get on a program where you just lose the weight.
Yes.
But for me, it's just that I have a very, very sensitive carb reaction in my body. So I have to be very conscious and cautious of that. And for myself, I love to go to a naturopath, because they don't really care what your symptoms are, except for it's like the pieces of a puzzle that they put together to help bring your body to homeostasis. And so at that point, you know, I've now got into intermittent fasting, which is the big buzzword these days, but it really does agree with me. And I actually prepare my body properly. And I also go on prolonged water fasts, which I have listened to many research on research podcasts and different things that are clinically saying that a prolonged water fast one time a year will reduce your risk of cancer by up to 98%.
Wow.
So it's not easy for people to do, nor do I say that people should do it without the help of a naturopathic doctor or someone by their side helping them through. But I've done 7 days before, and I didn't even faze me. I actually, the only reason I ate at that moment was because I had been cooking up a storm for some odd reason. My kids were like, what is going on? Like everything in the fridge was like, and this goes with this and this goes. And I wasn't even eating anything. I was drinking water. And my brain was so sharp because it was working on ketones. And I was so full of energy, and my sugar cravings were gone, like obliterated at that point. And I also just noticed that I felt like myself, and you could really sense that the body had taken away a lot of the things that it didn't need, the excess fat, and this is what they're claiming is, or no, I shouldn't say claiming because that's the wrong word to use when you're talking about health and things like that. But they're saying that it would go after things that your body doesn't usually really need, like a tumor, before it would take away your muscle.
Right.
Now it's going to take a little bit of your muscle mass at the same time, but if you're working out, you'll be fine. You'll get it back.
The thing is,
in menopause.
Yes. You know, the thing is that when, as you said, if you introduce a good habit, and you get immersed into that good habit, you feel good mentally, physically, you know, everything you're putting in your mouth, the way your stomach responds to it, you really feel good with it. You know, I'm a six veg a night person. I love my veggies. You know, you can keep the meat, right? I love plant-based.
Okay, very nice.
I have occasionally eaten chicken and fish. I still have that now and again. My other children are completely vegan. And there's so many wonderful varieties with vegan food today or plant-based food today, or just simply the delight of the vegetables and the flavors together and spices and this and that. One needs to be a little adventurous and kind of try things out, and you'll know if it agrees with you or not. I know. Absolutely. I can't go too crazy on chickpeas and things like that. It's too aggressive for my stomach. So a little on that now and again, rather than all the time. We've just got to be a little investigative and try things out. And I'm quite happy not to eat the meat. Also, at the same time, you are so satisfied with the goodness of the food that you're not hungry, right? So you're not going to go nibbling, and you're not craving the sugars.
That's right. And I know there is a lot of justification in eating the foods that are to your area, like a 100-mile radius to your area. And I think that that's really an interesting, there's a few cookbooks on that where you're eating around what you would have normally.
Yeah.
And I also know that with any family, we have about 10 meals that we will rotate through. And what's interesting is to write those 10 meals down and then to tweak them to be that little healthier. One of the things I'll always remember, a holistic nutritionist I was working with, she said the easiest way you can put more dark greens in your meals is just to line your plate with them. Doesn't matter if you were eating lasagna, it doesn't matter, right? You were going to just I'm kicking over things over here with my hands. but you just line your plate with spinach or baby spinach or whatnot, and then all of a sudden you've got those extra greens in. And it's just a really neat thing to, if you start to lose the overwhelm, because this is the thing, people get so bogged down with how much they have to do and how chaotic it is. But meanwhile, the amount of energy that it's taken them to procrastinate and to complain about it, in that time, they could have just done it and it would have been done.
Exactly.
And once you get cooking, like real good cooking at home, it starts to become like a really fun game, because you're like, oh, and what do I have left today to work with, right? Like everything's like a ratatouille or a stew, right? Of sorts, type of thing.
The thing is, you can still have the foods you love. You know, I'm British. My kids were brought up on shepherd's pie. We can still have shepherd's pie. Eve's ground beef, you know, which is plant-based meat, is delicious. Add a few more mushrooms to it for a little more texture, and it's great. great for spaghetti sauce, great for, you know, everything else. And the thing is that you can still have a burger if you want, but, you know, kind of that plant-based with plant-based cheese, which, yes, folks, it tastes delicious. You know, look at your breads and whether they agree with you or not, which bread agrees with you. Are you gluten-free? Are you this? Are you that? You can still have those things, but you just want to have them in a healthier manner.
And I mean, with the burger, the portobello mushrooms is a beautiful way to encapsulate it. Or I've had it with lettuce. And I know that people poo-poo it at first until they take it in. And then they don't feel that sluggish way afterwards. Because my culprit is bread. So I am sensitive to gluten, and I am a massive addict to like warm breads and things like that. So as soon as I start eating breads, my sugar cravings go up because it turns into glucose in your system so quickly. I think the only breads that we should even be looking at these days are the lower gluten ones, or I don't even go for gluten-free stuff because gluten-free is full of tapioca and all kinds of stuff that we really shouldn't be filling our system with either. So it's one of those catch-22s. If you're going to go gluten-free, don't try to find bread. Like, do you know? Right? But the breads that have the live enzymes or the live, which are those Ezekiel breads, They seem to be a good one to help you digest it because they have this live enzyme going on that helps the digestion. That's part of the problem is that wheat is no longer wheat. It's been really bastardized over the years.
Yes.
And then it's we're unable to process and digest it. And when you think about, like I always let people think of visuals that help them understand why and what's in it for me. Because a lot of times you'll say something and it's futile. It's over their head. Even drink more water, right? Like as in drink more water. Why? What's in it for me? Their brain just keeps going like this. I have coffee. That must count. Like, do you know?
There's water in coffee. Yeah.
they justify all these different things. But if they're doing weight loss, like say, for instance, and you say when that fat cell is releasing so that it's getting rid of the fat, it also has a ton of toxins in it. That's where they're stored. If you're not drinking enough water, the body is going to coax that fat cell to stay put because it needs somewhere to store the toxins, or else you're going to just end up as a toxic cesspool if you don't have the water to push it out. Then all of a sudden the person's like, I'm going to drink some more water. Like, if I'm doing all this work, I might as well, you know, get the benefit. And so this is back to the whole habit thing is that there's a massive neuroscience around it, because there's one thing in looking at someone that has their act together and things are going well and they're very healthy and things, and they seem to be enjoying life and they're not overwhelmed by it. But when you're in that hole, when you're stuck in that rut, and you're not even sure if you want to come out of it, like you're thinking, I'll just live disgusting like this for a while and then I'll decide to do it, right? Or the procrastination, it has still been, I'll start on Monday. And it's gone on for 10 years. And you look at yourself and you're like, what? Right?
The disease taps you on the shoulder because you're not paying attention. The body says, well, you know, I've tried to tell you.
I mean, here's the thing is that, my life work is around this, but I really didn't heed till I got my diagnosis.
Right.
So I was what you call incongruent and a little bit of a hypocrite for many, many years. I would be like, do as I say, but not everything that I'm doing.
Right.
as in, because I'd eat a massive salad, I'd eat really healthy, and then I'd have a big bag of chocolate almonds and think I was all good. Right.
Yeah.
But I was testing the waters in a big way. It was almost like I was a human experiment because I was gestational diabetic with both my pregnancies. So I knew my risk was a lot higher, and it goes up 70% to 90%. And I was on insulin for both of the pregnancies. So I knew what I was dealing with. But there again, I had a little bit of knowledge, not a lot, which is most dangerous.
Right.
And I was, I was playing around with insulin at that time. If I wanted the chocolate cake, I'd up my insulin. And it was that kind of denial that put me in the position that I'm in now, where I no longer have the choice. So it's almost like some people, i.e. myself, wait for that diagnosis, yeah, and then they're like, okay, I'm ready to change.
I call that the cosmic 2x4. Yeah. have I got your attention now?
That's right. And then, you know, like I'm 53 years old. I just had my birthday yesterday, actually.
Yes, happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. And I feel great. Mm-hmm. Like I really, really feel great. I know that I look good, like in not in an ego way, but meaning I like my daughter's friends and everybody else keeps boosting my ego, right?
Right.
So I know I'm feeling and I'm looking good. And in general, I know I can combat whatever is being thrown my way, but I really should because I don't do the should have, would have, or could have ever, but I may have aimed to have stopped that disease from getting a diagnosis earlier.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is that, again, sometimes you can have too much information, it's saturating and it's overwhelming, and so therefore you switch it off, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm feeling okay, you know, it can't apply to me. And then, you know, as we do get older, you know, various things in our body do start going, hey, I'm tired. I'm tired of dealing with the CRAP that's in my lining here. And I don't know how to get rid of it because you're not drinking enough water or you're not detoxing. And your body will tell you. And we need to learn how to tune into our body before the cosmic 2x4.
That's right.
Prevention is better, you know, the stitch in time. Oh,
well, I mean, prevention is key. Prevention is also the answer to most things, including cancer. When people are like, oh, they're still looking for a cure. Well, the cure is prevention, but yeah, we're not really all tuned in, right?
There's also numerous amount of kind of cures for cancer that aren't chemotherapy and everything else.
That's right. And then on the other side of the scale, because we have nutrition, which is huge, and we could go on about that for years on what we have there for us. But then movement is huge. I mean, how many people, especially these days after COVID, are stuck on their computers for hours on end?
7 hours a day. Yeah.
And it's not cool, because even an hour workout at the gym after that is not combating the 8 hours that you were sitting still at the computer. Mm-hmm. So as I mentioned to you earlier, before we got on, right now I'm standing on a treadmill. I have a little treadmill that fits right under my desk, and I have a stand-up desk, and my desk is at a height that's perfect for me. And then I can get up to about 3.7, I guess, on the walking speed. I don't have the longest legs, and still work just fine. Mm-hmm. Like, as in, my work isn't inhibited at all. So I find that really helpful. I also find that, you know, you have to start your day with movement.
Yeah.
And also taking meetings, as many meetings as you can take on the phone, on a walk, on a hike, is so much better than being still and stagnant. Now, I get it when you're doing podcasts and you have visuals of people, walking isn't the greatest. You can get up my nose and my ear, like, do you know, like, as in, and people would get dizzy. But at the same time, there's got to be, you know, when you're interviewing the people per se, just getting on the phone with them, you could ask them, maybe record it and then take notes from it after, right?
Right, exactly.
There's dictation where they transcribe everything that was said. So it's not like you even have to worry about these things anymore when you're out doing your thing. And I would say that your health comes way before all of the other excuses that we give.
Right, so it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, how famous you are, you know, how top of the pile you think you are. Yeah. If your health is down here, mediocre, you know, you're going to pay the price like everybody else.
That's right.
You know, and not everybody can do, you know, heavy duty exercise or thing between. But, you know, I've got these rubber bands. So even just doing a little stretching of that.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know if you know, I've got them out there actually right now. But Forbes Riley has the little spin gym, mm-hmm. and you can do that while you're on there. And there's so many great little exercises with that. Yep.
I've got a thing that massages my feet.
Nice.
Keep the circulation going. Nice. And good. The other thing is, if you can't do much, or don't want to be sweating before the next appointment, there's that wonderful thing of Qigong or Tai Chi. Mm-hmm. Just if it's the simple stretching, loosening things up, and getting the circulation going, because mm-hmm. that's really what it is, isn't it? It's the circulation, keeping it going. And I suffer from fibromyalgia, and I know that's one of the nemesis that I have there, is that circulation. I also know that I can't do the heavy exercise, but I can do the other stuff. So find out what you can do, that you are willing to do, because you can do it, that's comfortable for you. And you can always kind of stretch it out. I'm feeling good today, I can do more, or I can try something else. But
what I put together was a app called the 5-Minute Miracles. It'll be coming out in 2022. And it's for people that are at their desk. Mm-hmm. And what I've asked them to do is at least choose 4 different ones during the day. So it's just 5 minutes. You could choose from Pilates, core, yoga, weight training, restorative stretch, meditation, high intensity interval, all kinds of things, plyometrics. So I put together all kinds of ones to choose from, and you mix and match them how your day seems, right?
Yes.
Oh, I have a meeting here. I'm going to do an intermediate or a beginner yoga. Or something, right?
Yes.
So I put it together like that because I just thought it's so important. I in my job, when I was working with people, I would go and I'd be active all the time, because even though I was teaching, I was still moving and I was up on my feet and I was going. And then all of a sudden COVID hit and it all stopped.
Right.
And then I was on the computer for 16 hours a day with my legs crossed because I'm a yogi. And then within 1 month, I gained 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. I was limping because my knee was sore. I was miserable. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, this is not the way you proclaim to live, nor do you want to live like this. Right now, you're going to put the systems in place and you're going to optimize this lifestyle of being without those other things that you were doing before. And that's why right away I started to notice that even those little 5-minute things, and now I want to reiterate the 5-minute things to any audience that's listening that is 40 and above. For women, when we go through menopause and perimenopause, our ability to gain muscle is 50% harder, as in 50% harder to do that. And so if you're before menopause, get on it quick, build up the muscle lean so that you have it and the bone density. And then if you have missed the boat, you can again. But what they did a lot of studies on men and women, because so men are called andropause, and it's a real thing. But it doesn't get talked about that much.
No, I've never heard of it.
Right. So there's menopause and andropause.
Right.
And so ideally, we have too much elevated cortisol and our stress levels are higher, meaning the way we perceive things usually at that point. And so we need to do less long duration exercise and we need to shorten the time. So the key is about 12 minutes, but that's why I was saying with the 5-minute miracles, I was noticing a massive difference. I used to work out, I'd work out 3 hours in a day, no problem, and have fun with it. And an intense exercise like sport conditioning and things like that. And then all of a sudden here I am just doing these little 5-minute intervals, and I could notice more strength, more tone, more elevated blood to my brain. And the next thing I knew, I was back to myself.
Right.
And it wasn't, that's why I call it the 5-minute miracles, because I was like, that's a miracle.
Yes.
How did that happen? And
that's the thing, isn't it? With life is that, we look at, I've got to exercise, but I just don't have that 2 hours a day. And then I'll need to shower and then I'll need to do this and that. And we make excuses and we don't happen. But if you're integrating little spurts along the way. And each time you do that, you feel, oh, this feels good. I can go a bit longer, or I'm looking forward to the next time I do it. You know, it's like the smaller meals through the day instead of the one big meal. Well, those are habits that
you got to watch out for that one. The smaller meals, this mm-hmm. is something I'm learning with my naturopath. It's almost like that thing I was telling you about with the spikes.
Right.
Ideally, when we were hunter-gatherers, mm-hmm. right, we weren't eating, first of all, we weren't eating three meals and a bunch of snacks.
Right. Right? Exactly.
And sometimes we were only eating one meal mm-hmm. and that was enough. So the thing about grazing can be very counterintuitive to a lot of our bodies. Ah. So for myself, this is me, my personalized program. I am not eating till at least 11, and I'm having one meal between 11 and 1 and one meal between 4 and 7 and no snacking. Mm. And that was the thing. I had left, you know, nuts and seeds and yeah. things like that out on the counter, things that were healthy, but I would graze all day long. And then it just sends the insulin into kind of overdrive again. Ah, right.
Okay.
So it's just one of those things to bear in mind.
Right. No, yes,
they've done a lot of testing with it, and they added up the calories, and someone that grazes,
right,
if they're going to be weight gain, there's going to be a lot of weight gain. Whereas someone that just had that same amount of calories placed into two meals, it's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, because I have my oats in the morning with banana and raisins and cashew milk. And then I have a piece of toast in the afternoon. And then I have my dinner a bit around 6, which is, you know, then my veggies with some form of carb. And that's my meals for the day.
All of those are a bit of a spike.
Okay.
Yeah. I know. especially when we're creatures of habit too, and we get on this thing and we're like, oh, I like this, right? I think take it to a naturopath and let them take a look, but it is, all of those are a bit of a spike. I wouldn't be able to do that one.
So is the oats the spike, or is it having the...
Actually, the oats are a little bit more of a complex carbohydrate. They'll take a little bit longer. Depends if it's a slow oat, right? Mm-hmm. And it's good with the fibers and things like that. But the banana, like as in a full banana, is a really big spike for glycemic, and raisins for sure. Any dried fruit is going to be a huge spike. And because the oats are carbohydrate, they're going to be a spike. So there's nothing there to slow it down, meaning fats and proteins.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
So fats and proteins will slow down the spike of a carbohydrate and a sugar or glucose. So, but there's nothing sitting in there that shows up as a fat or a protein.
So what kind of protein could you add into something like that if you are not eating
meat? Well, you know, that's a good question. Avocado is a good fat, and that often is like it's a high caloric thing, but because of its fat content, it's very helpful to slow things down. And you're not eating egg either, right?
I do now and again, but buy a dozen every couple of months or so. But
because those are usually good proteins. But that's something that you have to really. That's the tricky part of being plant-based too.
Yes.
When I went to my naturopath, I had watched What the Health for the third time, and I was dead set on becoming a vegan at that point. And my naturopath said for myself that he wouldn't recommend that for me because then my sugar cravings would be too high. So I make sure that it's clean sourced, and I'm hoping like respectfully sourced as well.
Yes.
I do have some friends that are in that are connected that way, which is helpful. But it is something that I do. I add in, like, say maybe 5 meals out of the week. Mm-hmm. I'll have an animal protein, but I make sure that it's sourced really well. And I think that's important for people to know too, is that first of all, the energy is something that we are connected to when we're eating something like that. And then also the like we were talking about earlier with the fat holding the toxins in factory farmed meat, it's just bizarre what we're taking in.
Yes.
And it's mainly it's mainly pharmaceuticals, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, ethical, organic, grass-fed animals is the way we were always brought up. And it was more respectful given the way, you know, we killed them. But now we're into this manufacturing of meat,
it's
inhumane, you know,
a little desensitized from it, because if we didn't, my heart just breaks.
I know. It's horrific. Yeah. It's horrific. And it's like, you know, people who eat the cheap burger don't realize. And, you know, I also have a theory that the anguish of the animal, the pain and the terror of the animal.
Well, that's what I was saying. The energy
is being passed down. It's being passed down. So we're seeing so much more anger in people today. And it's like, you know, I think, let's look at the diet. You know, is it a high burger, high steak, you know, of the unethical kind?
Right.
Because I think that has a lot to do with it. Mm-hmm.
So I like to give people options, because first of all, I don't, overwhelm is never somewhere that you want to get someone stuck when they're aiming to shift their habits. And if you put too much on their plate at first, it's really funny. Actually, one of the funniest things I've noticed in the past years is our society, how connected they are to their coffee. Like if you ask them to minimize that or take it out, they're like, it's almost like they go running the other way, right? And also remember, coffee is a laxative for many people, because, and here's the truth, is that the body is not appreciating it. So it's trying to get it out as fast as it can. So whatever's in its way, it's pushing it out. Right. And that's why I would never take someone cold turkey off of coffee. Would definitely wean them and get them into a more high fiber and then more water. And then they start. And then there's different alternates. Like I'm an affiliate for a company that has this cacao bliss, which has all these beautiful antioxidants in it, but it tastes like a beautiful hot chocolate if someone needs something warming. So, and then you also do the whole little cacao ceremony where you're setting intention. And in the summer or whenever I can, I'll go out in the grass and ground myself at the same time. And it turns into a beautiful thing. And that actually leads into what I wanted to mention, is that what I really focus on with people is their routines and their micro changes.
Yes.
Because if they focus on these massive changes like we often do on New Year's Eve, then if one thing doesn't work out, then the whole thing is thrown out the door.
House of cards comes crumbling down.
So I really like to focus on someone's morning routine and then their daytime hacks, different things that they can do throughout the day, and then also their evening routine. Now, bear in mind, those all just link together, because your morning is going to be so much better started off if you've had a great evening. Yeah. And your sleep is only going to be better if during the day you really physically exhaust yourself. Because mental exhaustion is going to give you insomnia, but physical exhaustion is going to allow you to sleep deeply and do that mending and repairing and everything else that's so important. So what I do in my programming, my Master Habits Academy, is we zone in on these different things, the morning routine, the daytime hacks, the evening routines, and then we place it all together with a weekly preparation and then a monthly intention goal setting. But we also have the barriers and the hurdles. What were they and how can we overcome them in the next month? And then it leads into our quarterly mastermind type of thing, because one blends into the next before you know it, you're really elevated. And then I think the other thing is that when you aren't accountable to something, you can let it slip, no one knows, whatever. Right. You're going to start again on Monday.
Yeah.
When you are accountable to something, even if you do slip, then someone's there to pick you back up and bring you back on your feet and get you back on track.
Support.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because all of these things that you had mentioned earlier with the chronic disease and things like that, that comes from years of constant abuse or constant habit that was not serving your body or serving your cells. And a lot of these chronic diseases come in the fact that they're emotional as well. There's a big emotional link to them. And a lot of times you can break those barriers by just elevating yourself with a proper community and just like, even when I start these challenges, that's why the week challenge even works so well. I mean, I love the 30-day one because it gets you in a pattern, but the week one kicks you right into gear. And so the first week of my 30-day challenge, I just watch people soaring. It's like they're on this plateau and now all of a sudden they're on this plateau. And they can't even get over that these tiny little things are changing their life. And what's funny is I get a lot of creatives seem to be attracted to me in my courses, and the amount of artists that start painting again and things just start to really blossom. It is really, really inspiring to see this. And I think that too, even if you're not a creative or an artist, sometimes when you find deep rooted things that you used to love, like I remember one time I was working with a CEO and very, very high stress, all the things that he was in charge of. And he was also, you know, working out, but working out so hard, everything was intense. He didn't want to do anything like that was slowing him down or anything. So truthfully, I was watching that the workouts could actually be very detrimental
because stressing
a little more tear down, a little more tear down on that body and on that mind. And then finally just started having the conversations around hobbies and what he used to like to do and things like that. And sure enough, a little bit of a, you know, old train set comes out and he's got this excitement where he's waiting for the end of the day to work on these different things that he's done before. You know, and these are childhood things, but often those are the ones that are ingrained deeper than we know and start to really invigorate not just your mind, but your entire being. So that excitement just comes back. And I think it's very important to get excited about where you're going. And then that way, it's not gonna last. It's just like when you're first dating someone and then you're gonna get married. You know, there's the honeymoon phase.
Yeah, the euphoria and then the plateau,
But at the same time, if there is a community that's there to, and their job is just to gear you back up, then it can come back with that feeling more and more, which is then addictive.
It kind of reminds me of a show I did with a veteran. And by his own admittance, he was like an adrenaline junkie. He kept signing up and going back. And one of the reasons was is that when he came back here, he just didn't know how to decompress. He didn't know how to come down. Right. And so he'd go back up again because he was used to being constantly on the alert. And a friend of his dragged him to yoga. And it ended up with him changing his life completely and him opening up studios around the world for veterans and their families to yoga today together
to reconnect.
Right. And so it was, he just needed something to switch him off and put that in. And, you know, I'm always saying this is that when we're like this, the adrenaline is like this, we're in a state of chaos. Mm-hmm. That deep breath, letting it down, slowing everything down. Now we can actually see the clarity, but we can't see it when we're so wound up.
Yeah, it's true. And that, I love that story though. I'm going to have to link to that episode because I think it's so important people find some purpose. It doesn't matter what stage of your life you're in. When you feel like you have no purpose, you just are kind of spinning gears and one day sliding into the next. When you find that little bit of purpose, and that's the other thing that I love about what I was mentioning, we started something called the Bright Light Fund, which was just to help, like, there's enough people right now that are in need, but some of them just can't figure out their way in that space. So we take nominations of people that are in need. This winter, we're going to do an orphanage as well in Uganda. Mm. I do believe in keeping charity close to home. So, and one of the things that I'm very near and dear to is any of the single moms that are struggling or single dads. I do not discriminate.
Right.
You know, there's single moms and dads, but at the same time, I know how tricky that is to be a good parent and try to run a business or whatnot and get yourself geared in. So so we want to help those people get their footing and then get empowered to be more. And then at the same time, turn around and do that for someone else.
Right.
So that even if they don't think they have a purpose or anything, then all of a sudden now we've given them a purpose.
Right. Like the gift that keeps on giving, the wonderful domino effect.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right. We want to make sure that people feel empowered in that space. And that it's not just, you know, a take thing and, oh, can I have some more? It's not a handout. It's a
hand up.
Hand up. I like that. teaching how to fish, right? Yeah.
Most of the time people just need a shift, you know, either shift in perspective or shift in opportunities, a shift in possibilities. And somebody caring and saying, look, I've got you. Take my hand. Let's just help you up here. And, you know, the best teachers are those that have gone through it. And the best givers are those that have had lack.
Right. It's true. It's true. And there was something that came to my mind there, but I pushed it so I could hear you. Do you know, like,
you want to be
present? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, what was that that I was thinking? Oh, it'll come back. Yeah. But I really do. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So there are people that come to me when they are highly overwhelmed.
Right.
And overwhelmed just means you're not living presently. Mm-hmm. And so, and you get the antage of, oh, have you tried meditating? And have you?
Yes.
That's not going to happen for someone that's overwhelmed. They're going to just be overwhelmed with that suggestion.
They're in the tornado. They don't know how to get out of it. Yeah.
That's right. Like, being still is the last thing that they want suggested. So often I will turn it around and say, you know, what else could you do for someone else? So how can you be of service to someone that is close to you or that you are close to, in, like, for myself, like single parents, right? Like, as in, and then when you start to think outside of your own box and you've put somebody else first, then all of a sudden you're not thinking like that anymore. It's not all about what's in it for me, because I find that that is a problem that we're having in a lot of the youth and things, is that there's a lot of entitlement issues going on, and everybody caring about their own state and their own. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't be good with your self-care, but if you're consumed with thoughts of, oh, woe is me, you haven't even stepped outside of yourself to see what's actually going on. Right. And the differences that you can make, because you're so able.
Yeah.
Often. Right. It is. It's really kind of powerful to give them that existence, to give them an invitation to be of service.
The thing is, we're actually all here to be of service to one another. And we discover what is our gift, what is our instrument, how do we play it, which orchestra do we join? And it is about that. This is my skill. Collaboratively, I'll work with you in the village to make this village stronger. And that actually is truly the gift that you're going to receive, is when you are a giver. Now, I don't mean a giver at your own expense where you become depleted, which I've been there, done that, right? It's hard to get back up again. It's about being abundant within yourself, mind, body, heart, spirit, and soul, so that your cup runneth over. And so that it exudes out onto other people, benefiting them. And when you are able to enable somebody else into being their own light, in just discovering their own light, standing in their own 2 feet, being able to be at that stage where they can now gift forward, that is the greatest gift we can give each other as a humanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is reciprocal. Like it just keeps going. It doesn't end with you.
No.
With you just giving the suggestion.
Yeah, right? It gathers a momentum of its own. It becomes a good habit.
Yeah, that's right. When I made the company name Master Habits, I was thinking of three things as I made it. One of them was, here are the masters of the world, and these are their habits. Because I happen to, for some reason, I always seem to connect with these people I would consider masters. Mm-hmm. And that's not an ego thing on their part. It's me saying, I think that these people are
You're tuned in.
They're good mentors. And then I also think these are specifically the master habits that I keep seeing. And that's why I zone in on a lot of those things. And then how do I master my own habits? Mm. So those three plays on the word was why I chose that as the company name.
And, you know, in the end, our habitual selves is a form of either societal conditioning or of your own free will. And if we know that societal habits are not working for us, we're disconnected from them, and we wish to be connected, then it's an inside-out job. Always living life is an inside-out job. And when we decide to change those habits, one to that serves us for the greater good, then we could be the greater good to anyone else. But we've first got to fortify ourselves, balance ourselves, be abundant within ourselves, because that's when we are then able to share.
Right.
So it is important to do that.
It was funny when you were saying community-wise, because I did, I'll backtrack. So when I was quite young, I was looking after chronically ill people in their homes. That was one of my first jobs. I knew I was always very caring, and I could connect with people on a deep level. Now, if you want to connect with someone on a really deep level, you go in when they're dying.
Yes. Right?
Like as in, because you're not family.
No.
And you're not, so they're able to freely express and release there. And you're able to listen. Mm-hmm. And so I learned more from that job than I think I've ever learned from any other job.
And dignity being one, right? Dignity and respect.
Dignity, right? Mm-hmm. You treat them exactly how you would be treated if you were in that situation.
Yes.
And very, very deep, right? Like very deep, right? But lots of laughs too. But what I noticed from listening to everyone was that there was definitely a time in their life prior to the illness that there was a fork in the road and they had a choice to make. And then I realized too that peer pressure didn't end in high school.
Right.
And that there was an awful lot of things that society does and glamorizes that was not serving ourselves or our human physical body. And we make those choices, you know, like as in to go to, and then here's the irony. I also was bartending at the same time, and I started my journey in personal training, and this is in the 90s. So
when you had all that abundant energy and enthusiasm.
And so, but here was the thing, is that the pub was full of fun. We laughed all the time, bad hours. People were still smoking at that time.
Right.
So as a bartender, I would like see the wall of smoke that I had to walk through and I'd go through it. And every night I'd just take all my hair and put it on the top of my head to go to sleep because it just stunk, right?
Yes.
And I wasn't home till like 4 a.m. and, you know, the hours were terrible and things like that, but it was fun. And it was like comic relief from looking after the chronically ill. And then with the personal training, I thought, what an empowering space. But then all of a sudden, a lot of my patients had passed away at the same time. And at that point, I couldn't even get out of bed. It was like, I was so heavy with everything because it's very hard to disconnect.
Yes.
Like you're supposed to. And then I'd be serving beers and some of my personal clients would come in from the training and I'd be like, this just doesn't make any sense.
Yes.
And I gave up. Then I gave up the bartending. And then I went to a very, very proactive space. And that's how I started the journey, just staying in that field of, and that field was like an undiagnosed ADD dream because I did everything. I have so many certifications. It's hilarious. Like as in all the way down the line, I took everything and it let you explore such openings and such diverse abilities to move in different directions. Now that's what became tricky when COVID hit was that they were like, so, you know, what's your specialty? What's your niche? What's your market? What's your message? And I was just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like even if I looked at my list of clients, it was so diverse.
Yes.
And I said, the only thing I can really say is that the outcome is that people feel a lot better and or look better and everything else that goes along. Right. Right. So then I decided that after figuring out that I was serving about 16 different avatars, that I would choose the people that had decided to pivot and work from home and that wanted to optimize their lifestyle ecosystem.
Right.
And that's what I'm sticking with because I think it's really powerful, the space that I've been able to bring people to in that.
It's kind of the core, you know, this is the thing. You talk about like societal dictation, you know, which social media and TV and everything else is that we're meant to look like this, we're meant to act like this, we're meant to do this, we're only popular if we do that. And it's when we take the time to go in and look at what do I need from the inside out? What's my connection? How can I honor this vessel that I'm in to make it as productive as possible so that I can be useful with my particular gifts out into society? It's not about what society is doing for you, it's what you're doing for society. And the better you are from the inside out, the better your production is going to be in society, elevating all those around you. And God knows we need elevation into a higher frequency of love, kindness, and consideration out there right now. And that starts with us. If we, if we're unhappy with what's going on in the world, we are part of the solution in changing it. But first, we need to change our own habits that are serving us better so we can be of service to others better.
Absolutely. It's like the old adage, right? Where if you were in the plane with your kids, it was going down, you'd need to take the oxygen before you were able to help them.
Yes, because you're no good dead to them.
Yes, exactly.
Right? You know, you can't help anyone, you know?
And this is the thing that people are, you know, they put this onus almost like it's like they are like suffering and they have to push through.
Yes.
But you don't have to. That's the opposite. When you figure out your patterns, it's a flow and it's a beautiful flow.
Yeah.
And it is not arduous. It is actually exciting. And if you include your family into that as well, then you've got the key, right? And there's nothing better for kids than to see their family active, healthy, happy, helping each other, helping others. Like when they witness that, that's when you've done an incredible job as a parent, not somebody that's, you know, overworking, struggling, stressed out, irritable, you know, eating crap food and then not moving. Like that's just, you know, throwing the iPad at them and telling them to go to town, right?
Yeah.
There's so many things that we just need these subtle shifts.
Yes.
And that's what I think that is important to know is that it's micro habits that are the powerful ones, because then you're consistent with those, they add up and you've got a whole different life and it's a beautiful one.
Right. Shift the perspective, you know, just shift the perspective. I mean, our bodies can't do anything until our minds tell us it's okay to do it. So if we shift the perspective and we kind of look at it this way, I'm eating so much sugar, I'm eating so much of that. I have free will. I have choice. Nobody's forcing me to eat that, right? And it's like, if I shift my perspective that I wish to fortify this body, I wish to thank this body for being the vessel carrying my spirit, my soul, and my purpose, then it is like, if I was somebody else and I was seeing them do that to their body, I would want to speak out. So speak out for your own inner self, and
be willing to try,
right? Be willing to explore. You know, if, see a nutritionist or a naturopath. If you can't do that, just be willing to try things out. You will know in yourself, I'm feeling more energetic, I'm feeling more positive, I'm feeling more enthusiastic. Well, that means that that nourishment is actually heading up to the brain.
Yeah, but then remember, there also is the fact that a lot of us have so much junk to detox from that a lot of times eating healthy might not feel good at first, and you need some guidance through that.
It's 3 months, isn't it? It's 90 days before a system kind of deletes and resets. So we've got to give it time. There's no instant regratification here.
I like that saying, what is it, nothing tastes as good as fit feels. I like that saying, because it really helps someone connect, and also to have that visual, like a lot of visuals around you of why or what you want to look like or feel like, you know, like maybe you have an old picture of yourself, even that's even more helpful than choosing some random one.
Right.
But if you've been somewhere already, then you just need the little path to get back. If you haven't been there, then there's a few more steps that you have to add in.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
And, you know, please, no comparison, you know, to either your past 20-year-old, you're not going to go back to being 20, and no comparison to someone else, because you, your own beautiful, unique person.
It is
about you tuning into who you are and allowing yourself to be the abundance that you're meant to be. And it's give things time. What is the one thing that is consistent for anybody and everybody and everything living on this planet? Time. Yeah. Right? 24 hours in a day, time. We all have it. It's what we do with it. And, you know, as we talked about, you know, you talked about your client that was so wound up and they needed to decompress and come down and find something that he could put his time into that was calming.
Yeah. Right?
When we get into that calm space, we utilize our time so much more efficiently than we do when we're so wired up.
Yeah.
And we've all got the same clock, but it's how we use it, right?
And that fight or flight response, it's fight, flight, or freeze for a lot of people. And that people are actually sleeping in that state these days, which is really, really sad, because if you think about it, back to the hunter and gatherer, you have a shortness of breath when you're chasing an animal or you're being chased by one.
Right.
Your digestive tract stops because it's helping you out. You don't want to have to stop and go to the washroom if you're being chased by
exactly.
and
pee break.
All the different time out. This is a safe tree. but like all these different systems just halt, and if you're living in that state, just imagine you're not able to produce any kind of healthy cell. So that even just breathing techniques that we speak about very often help trigger that switch so that you're into parasympathetic, where all of a sudden your heart rate is slower, your blood pressure will normalize, your mind moves into a peaceful state, and you start to digest and assimilate nutrients and, you know, mend and repair and eliminate and everything else that you need to do in order to be a healthy, functioning physical body.
You know, we look at our cars, we make sure the oil is in, the gas, good quality gas is in. If you're going to drive at 100 a whole time, you're going to wear and tear on that car very, very quickly. If we put in, you know, crap oil and we don't service it as we should and we don't look after it, it's going to break down. We have a vehicle here, folks. It's called a human body. It's attached to our human psyche, our beautiful spiritual self. And we need to be at one with ourselves, right? So look after this vehicle.
Yeah, it's a marvelous vehicle too.
Yes.
Nothing can replicate it.
And look at what we can do with it.
Yeah.
Look at how even the simple thing.
Look at how much abuse it takes. It runs.
Yes. And it certainly does.
Yeah. Because even if, like, you know, if you're this side of the ground, you've done your number on this vehicle and it's still going, right?
Yes. Yes, I mean, even look at your performers, your dancers, your sports people, at some point, even though, after each game they may be getting a massage or this or that, there has to be the wind down and honor the
Actually,
calmness, right?
yeah, actually, you just hit on a good point, is that there's often this you want the reward system, right? Like, as in, everyone wants the reward. And like, say it does take 3 months for you to notice the nutrition, that's certainly not going to be a reward. But if you give yourself, like, say, if the next 2 weeks I'm doing this, I'm going to book myself a massage, there you have this beautiful reward system in place. And you're doing something to keep you going, because you'll be like, oh, and if I keep up for another 2 weeks, I'll book another one, or I'll do, whatever it is that really enhances your being at that point.
And there's also the thing of I will buy myself a new outfit because my body is changing, but don't go, I'm going to do it next week or even 2 weeks. I would say at the 3 month mark, I'm going to look at my body, how healthy it is, how toned it is, how much happier I am with myself. Then I'm going to go and buy myself something, because it's not something that just reflects the body. It reflects my whole new perspective on life, right? And what are you going to buy and what you're going to wear is going to be the new you. So wait until you kind of finish that cycle and come
I
into
feel that
yourself.
coming. So that we do go over different macro and micro cycles of what rewards are really great and appropriate, and things that would excite you at certain points in your habit journey. So I love that whole thing. And I myself, with business, I joined something called Boardroom with Forbes again, and we did this thing where you get a partner and you dedicate to a certain thing that you need to get done for your business, and you have a month. And what happens is that you give yourself a like, for instance, my friend is from Australia, and she would have to pay her Australian Prime Minister, who she's totally not in agreement with right now, $1,000 if she didn't achieve what she set out to achieve. And that, but the whole thing is that if I didn't achieve what I said, she'd have to pay him as well. So not only was I accountable to myself, I'm accountable for her. So it was really, it put us in a
It's
space,
the
and I'm
incentive,
like,
right? The
it's
incentive.
incentive, yeah. And I'm thinking of very much of putting that into play with the partners in the group as well, coming up in the year program in 2022, because I found it really effective, not just me on the line, like, or me having to put out $500. Oh well, like, but because she has to put out a thousand to her guy, then I was like, oh shoot, I can't let Anita get that,
That
right?
accountability.
So I think it's a really good play. I took it mainly for that. I took it because I thought, that's a really interesting spin on it. I'm going to do that.
So
So
tell us about the program. You've got one before Christmas and then you have one in the new year. So tell us about those.
What the truth about the one that I have coming up, it's December 6th, and that one is called Mastering Life Altering Routines. And so that one is a 7-day kickstarter to your routines, and it's right before Christmas, and it's right before the Christmas rush, right? So it gets you on track, and then I want to catch you again right after Christmas, January 3rd, so that we can get you back in the momentum. And that one is about celebrating your wins, and it has the micro habits that I think are really, neuroscience has really proven enhance your being. So we've got those 2 7-day ones, and really I did that as a gift to everyone, meaning I'm only charging for admin. So it's $22 for one, or $33 for the two of them together. So it's
It's a
just
gift to oneself, right?
gift to yourself, and get you before and after Christmas kick charged up. Then I do run a 30-day Master Your Habits, Elevate Your Life, and we're just actually today we're just finishing our month, and it was phenomenal. So tonight we have a lot of prizes and gifts and that. And I'm going to be doing those every second month of the year. So that one will always be running every second month. And then I have a massive, beautiful foundation group that I was mentioning runs in quarters. And that one is the Master Habits Academy. And that one is really powerful. So that keeps you not only strengthening your mind, but your body and all of the different ecosystems that you're dealing with. But one of my most fond projects right now has to do with the Bright Light Fund, because I am taking nominations for people that are in need. And I don't scrutinize. If you really believe they're in need, then they're in need. I don't need to like know their massive details. And I'm doing that through a cryptocurrency platform that I truly am connected with at the corporate level. And I know they're so strong because I am involved in 11 different ones. This is my favorite one. And it's also the one that empowers people the most when I'm able to instruct them. You get to be a profit share in an 8-year-old blockchain ecosystem. And right now that's the way things are going. And also to just empower people in that space. And I think you and I were talking about this already, but I seem to attract a lot of light workers into that space. And I think it's because the light workers right now, we need them more than ever to help the world. And their characteristics, and this is me assuming, but the characteristics of the ones I've dealt with are that they've been helping people for so long and not getting the proper energy exchange with money.
Right.
So they themselves struggle financially and they're getting burnt out, things like that. So I find that the crypto space is now there almost like a cushion supporting them. And then the other characteristic they seem to have, which isn't my favorite, is that they're not technically advanced.
Yes.
So I will spend a lot of time helping people with wallets and all the setup. But you know what? It's my honor and I have no issues doing it. And I also have a gift of making complex simple and really walking people through it and breathing exercises.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of that needed. But I am happy to share that with anyone. And it's also, I have to mention this, a brilliant gift idea because it's a membership with a solid platform. So I'm getting both of my kids membership. I think it's a great gift for anyone that, you know, might be working for you or that is in their teens or a little bit older. Anyone, it really is such a
well, it's something that keeps on growing. You know, I'm a part of that fund as well.
Yeah.
I'm one of those workers where, I don't see money for what I do. That business side of it, I'm not, you know, it is like, for me,
it's
the information
needs to
get, the information has to get out. And I do everything by donation. And some people see the donation button, but some people don't. You know, I leave it up to them. That's their job, you know, their journey. But for me, I'm compelled to do this because the knowledge needs to get out.
Yeah.
I am a part of that fund. And what's good about it is that it's really good, especially if you can get somebody in younger or somebody that's got the time on their side to let it grow, And then it can be that sustainability, you know, later.
It's growing.
Yeah.
And it's such a strong, strong platform. So it is.
And it's got a good consciousness behind it. It's, you know, there's a lot of them that's just about money. Yeah. And, you know, this particular one that you're talking about is about raising the consciousness and being supportive with the money. So there are going to be people that are involved in it purely for the money, but the people that, as you say, the light workers or the people that have got that consciousness about them, it is because they can see it's not just based in profit.
It's
based in enabling and empowering. Which is what we want to see. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And actually with the compliance for this company, you don't even talk about the money.
Right.
It's a membership. Look into what it offers you. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Right.
And more and more we're seeing those type of things come up because, you know, we do, unfortunately, you know, we have this human body that needs a roof over its head and we do need money to sustain us and life is getting more and more expensive. But the calling you know, that I was look, I'm incredibly enriched and abundant in who I am and what I do. One day, hopefully, the bank account will match.
Will match
but,
it, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. But you're not consumed by thoughts.
I'm not consumed by that. It's obviously, you know, a need and a necessity to maintain. But it is about when we look at putting money to work for us instead of us working for the money.
Yeah.
Then we've actually got some empowerment in place.
And you know, I think the other thing that's really special about like a platform like this is that we were never invited to play in this space.
No.
Before. And no. Now there's a very easy entry. Yeah. There's no barrier of entry anymore. And all you need to do is really allow yourself to be slightly educated. Because here's the thing is that I'm not crypto queen.
Right.
I don't know everything about crypto. But like I said, I have 11 different platforms now because I wanted to learn more. And I'm kinesthetic. I like to be involved. Right. And so, so this was why I did it. And I was comparing the different things and I've been burned in a few too.
Oh, yeah.
So it was very, very important that I understood what happened there and why that happened. And then I made sure that the variables for the ones that I would recommend and start a fund with like this, because the fund is not charitable, meaning I'm not going to give you a tax write-off. It's people that are doing well,
yes,
that are just gifting that to somebody else to help them do well.
Right.
And so that part was really important to me as well. I wanted something that I could stand behind that was going to do that and found it, which is great.
The integrity.
Yeah.
You know, something that serves more than just the pocketbook, something that serves community. You know, the thing of we've misconstrued what money is. It is a tool. It's an energy.
Yeah.
And the moment that, you know, money becomes your driving force, you now have become a victim and a slave to that money. But, you know, for the people that make a hell of a lot of money, but then take it to seed opportunity for other people. Mm-hmm. Right. To invest it's in such other people.
It's a really heartwarming thing.
Yeah. It is totally a heartwarming.
It really
and it's and it really where that money should be. It is meant to be shared. Be rich. Take a chunk of it and invest it in other people. Give them the opportunity.
Yeah.
Because we're losing so much creativity because they don't have that financial support behind them. Let's give it to them so that they can go and be abundant in their own lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because nobody was put on this earth to just struggle. That was not the intent, right?
Because it used to be so much more community-based. The village was only as strong as everybody's participation.
That's
and the
right.
more the more that everybody supported one another, that was the strength of the village itself. We've forgotten our village.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get back to that village in order to
strengthen that. Village. Yes. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see that movie they had put out on, you had to buy it on the computer. It was called Happiness. And they went around the world and they were doing documentary on where the happiest places in the world were. And where it always seemed to land was where the areas where you would, like say, have your own abode, but it was in a communal area otherwise, like communal kitchen, communal living room, and the elders would look after the little ones while the parents went out and had a little time together, or you know, whatever was happening. It was almost like Montessori, right? Like adult Montessori or family Montessori.
Yes.
And those happened to be some of the happiest places.
Right. Because people were looking out for each other. There was no one ego.
Yeah.
Over everyone else, you know,
we're
everybody
all in this together.
In
we're
it together, in take together. Pride of the community, there to support one another in celebration, good times, bad times, everything. And you're like, we can all create a community, whether it's communal life or whether it's people that you work with or people that you know. Is let's step out of our own insula and step into being part of the community and helping in any which way we can, then we will actually get back to the proper flow of energy that we need in this world.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think that's really, really true. And I love when people were coming out with random acts of kindness, you know, as a thing. And it was like, that's great. But then what would happen is, like, you know, people were paying for other people's Tim Hortons and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, that's not really where I want to see
it. But, you know, it's a start. It's a start. And then, you know, people kind of get that thing of, God, this feels good to give. This feels good to make someone smile.
Or to receive.
Yeah.
I think that was the other thing that I went to one of those millionaire-mind intensives a while ago with T. Harv Eker. And that was one of the things that I remember very well that he said. He said, you know, we all think about it's better to give than to receive. And it's better to be able to be in a position where you can give than it is to be in one where you need to receive. That's the quote. It got misconstrued over time.
Yes.
And then, but really giving, receiving 50-50, it should be a constant stream.
It's a flow of energy.
When you're not receiving, you're actually doing an injustice to the person that was aiming to give it to you, because that would have really enhanced their position at that point. And then all of a sudden, you know, you've denied them that.
Yeah.
So it is.
I used to be one of those people. I found it very hard to receive. Because I was the giver. And part of it was, when if I receive from you, what do I owe you? Right? But when I gave of myself, you didn't owe me anything. You know, and that was a mistrust that I had to go through and open up and learn to receive and understand that was somebody else's contribution, somebody else's gift. And by not receiving it, I'm basically slapping them in the face. Right?
Yeah. No, really, really true. Really true. So, yeah, so thank you for having me on. I really appreciate that. And it's amazing how quick the time
goes. Oh, yeah, no, it goes beautiful flow. How do people get hold of you? How do they sign up for these courses that you've got going on right now and in the new year? And also the Bright Life Fund?
Sure. So right now I'm just about to launch my masterhabits.com site. But until then, the challenges are on masterhabits.ca. On the .com site, just so you know, I've decided to affiliate with different products that I think are very considerate and health enhancing. Mm-hmm. So I will have a whole bunch of interesting ones on there for business, entrepreneurship, for reading materials that I think are brilliant, for organization and for self-care and self-growth. So I've itemized them like that. Then the Bright Light Fund, you can get it soon on brightlightfund.ca, but at the same time, you can just email me at info@masterhabits.com.
Excellent. And of course, you're on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn and people go.
And you can DM me on Facebook. Right now I have those 5,000 friend limits, but often when I get the message, I just put you there. And if someone's tired of hearing me or whatever, and they drop off, I put you back in. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. And you know, that's the thing about the more, you know, we are able to do for other people, but you know, the gratification of knowing that somebody is leading a better life because of your input. You know, it is something that you can take great pride in, because we're, as I said, the whole reason we're here is to be of service to one another. That's discover what our gift is and how to share it, how to strengthen someone else, how to help them find their own gift. And, you know, you've known yours for a long time. You've used yours in many different ways, and you keep on finding new ways in order
I
to
do.
Share it.
I wish I could rein it in, actually.
Slow down, Russell. Slow down.
I feel like a little bit of an explosion, but at the same time, it's an awesome explosion. And I'm very grateful to have those gifts.
Right.
And, you know, it's funny because as you were saying it, I was flashing to different classes I've taught. And I remember, you know, for the longest time, they asked me to teach restorative when I was right into the high intensity. And I would be like, why me? Like, why am I having to slow down and teach this? But then what I noticed very quickly was that people would come in one way And after that hour, they left a completely different way. And I think that that's one of the most heartwarming things, is to see someone's gratitude, even yes. in their physical body, as they're walking out or as they're participating in any of these classes, where they are just completely childlike again, where yeah. it's almost like they just had magic happen.
Right. And we're all capable of receiving magic, doing magic.
That's
We've
right.
just got to be receptive to it. We've got to be willing to put in the work and realize that nothing's going to happen by a downloadable app or wishful thinking. It's yeah. going to happen if you're willing to participate, yeah. to be interactive and to be proactive. Don't beat yourself up, one step at a time. And that one step will become a larger step, maybe a leap down the road as you get more confident, but just start off with the one step at a time. No persecution, please. We don't need that. That's going to be self-sabotaging. If you trip and fall, just get yourself back up and get back on track.
Or let someone help you.
Exactly. That's what you're there for, to yeah. help, let someone help, you know, yeah. help them get on track, get into their own flow. You know, live their own possibilities, their own abundance, you know, mind, body, heart and soul. Because when you are healthy in your body and you're healthy in your mind, my God, can you see the possibilities?
Right. Contagious.
Very contagious. Very. Yeah. So it is masterhabits.ca, masterhabits.com, coming very, very soon. And the Bright Lights,
.com. Actually, it's just called Bright Light Fund.
Bright Light Fund.
CAOR.com. I'll have right. them linked. Yeah.
Right. So I'll have a different link to that right now. If you just go to her show page and, you know, folks, reach out, have a chat, see if Michelle's a fit for you. And the whole point is nothing can happen until you decide you're going to make it happen. And nobody's asking you to reach, you know, the stratosphere. It is one step at a time. Just yeah. one step at a time, one habit at a time. Just micro going through life until all of a sudden you look back and go, oh my God, I've come far and I didn't know it.
True. Thanks again, Sarah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So folks, you know, this is a good time of year to kind of start putting things to practice. And most certainly, you know, those New Year's resolutions are not just there for you to break. They're there for you to change your perception and what you're going to do for yourself. And the best thing you can do for humanity right now is invest in yourself, because the more abundant you are, the more your cup will run off over for everyone else. So until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You will hear many, many shows here at selfdiscoverymedia.com. We have new shows for you out every week. Just find them on our podcast or What's New. If you feel that you have something to share that makes a difference in the lives of others, or you too feel that you could be a host, please contact me at info@selfdiscoverymedia.com and we will be glad to speak with you. Have a wonderful day.